At the table of grace, the cup's never empty, the plate's always full, and it's never too late to come and be filled with love never ending. You're always welcome at the table.
You're welcome to the table of our Lord Jesus Christ, where He dines with you and you with Him. The Comforter, even the Spirit of Truth, is your chef, and I am your steward, Joshua Ojo. At our last gathering at the table, we heard our Lord Jesus say that His disciples shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. We sought to unbundle this categorical statement and began by saying that our God is absolutely pure light. And we saw that we, who were inherently darkness, are now light in our union in our Lord Christ. For as our Heavenly Father is, so are we His children. Praise the Lord. We also saw that our Heavenly Father is righteous, and that being born of Him, we do not sin, and in truth, we cannot sin because His seed, His Christ, is in us. We are as righteous as our Father is. Again, as our Father in heaven is, so are we His children. Glory to God. We however understood that we must grow up into Christ in all for the life of God in us to find its full expression. In other words, the Christ that is our spirit must be formed in our souls, for us to unconsciously and consistently walk in the light of the life of God in us. We saw that this growth process has multiple streams. These streams are fruit-bearing, overcoming, sanctification, laboring to enter into rest, possessing our inheritance, and being transformed as we behold the glory of the Lord. We should note that these streams overlap and each one has its peculiar dynamics. And we saw that to walk as the children of light is to walk in love and righteousness. Simply put, the fruit of eternal life in us is righteousness and love. And we concluded our meal with the Apostle Paul's exhortation that we should walk in newness of life. As we continue on our journey of eternal life, our main dish for the day is the words of our Lord Jesus, served from John chapter 12, verse 25. He who loves his life shall lose it, and he who hates his life in this world shall keep it to life eternal. Our Lord Jesus said, whosoever clings to his life shall lose it. And he added that anyone who loathes his life in this world shall keep it unto eternal life. In other words, he who would live in life eternal, not only in truth, but also indeed, must be contemptuous of his life in this world. Now, at a previous gathering at the table, we had seen that life in this world is characterized by these three. 1. The irresistible impulse to gratify the inherent nature of the devil we were all born with prior to being born of God. 2. the inordinate and insatiable desire for things money can buy. This is otherwise called covetousness, or as it is in essence, idolatry. And three, pride instigated by the values of this world. At the gathering, we saw that we have been called out of this world and called into the kingdom of God and His glory. And we also saw that we ate our lives in this world when we see the relative beauty of our King and the lives of His subjects who live within His domain. Today, we will dig a little deeper into what this world is. We will begin our probe by dipping again into our main dish of John chapter 12, verse 25. He who loves his life shall lose it, and he who hates his life in this world shall keep it to life eternal. What is this world in truth? What is the reality behind the illusion we were all born into prior to being born again? What is the driving force behind all we think, all we say, all we do, all we value, and all we pursue? For the response to our question, we look to the vision granted to the Apostle John that revealed the execution of the judgment of God on this world. This is written to us in the 17th and 18th chapters of the book of Revelation. Thankfully, in these chapters, this world was unveiled for us. The mask was removed, and the Apostle John saw the spiritual reality orchestrating life in this world. Oh, that our eyes may be opened, that we also may see. We will begin our quest to gain insight by extracting verses 3 to 5 and verse 18 from the 17th chapter. Verses 3 to 5. And he carried me away in the spirit into a wilderness. And I saw a woman sitting on a scarlet beast that was full of blasphemous names, and it had 7 heads and 10 horns. The woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet, and adorned with gold and jewels and pearls, holding in her hand a golden cup full of abominations and the impurities of her sexual immorality. And on her forehead was written a name of mystery: Babylon the Great, mother of prostitutes and of earth's abominations. Verse 18. And the woman that you saw is the great city that has dominion over the kings of the earth. The apostle was carried in the spirit into a wilderness that he may see. Wildernesses are arid and barren. There is no life-sustaining water, and there is no bread in the desert. The church in the wilderness had to be fed with bread from heaven, and they drank water from the rock that was with them. The life forms present in the wilderness are venomous serpents and scorpions. These death-dealing creatures are a figure of evil spirits, as they were revealed to be demons, unclean spirits, and every foul and hateful bird in Revelation chapter 18, verse 2. So the child of God who lives his or her life in the wilderness, the one who loves his life in this world, has demons, unclean spirits, and every foul and hateful bird for company. The wilderness is the region of death, who casts darkness as his shadow. The wilderness is absolutely devoid of life, and there is no light in him. This realm of death and darkness is the backdrop to what the Apostle John saw. In this wilderness, he saw a city in the image of a woman. The Apostle John saw this woman sitting upon a scarlet-colored beast, full of names of blasphemy, having 7 heads and 10 horns. This beast is revealed to be the Antichrist, enthroned by the dragon in the 13th chapter of the book of Revelation. And we should note that the spirit of the Antichrist has since been in the world. Now, all the words we speak or all that we do are powered by either the Holy Spirit of God or the spirit of the devil that is at work in the children of disobedience. There is no third source of spiritual energy. That this woman was riding on the Antichrist reveals him as her driving force. She is the channel for the spiritual energy of the wicked one, required by man, saints and sinners alike, to do and perpetuate evil on the earth. The name of this woman, this city, is revealed to be Babylon the Great, mother of prostitutes and of earth's abominations. Those who have been with us at the table may recall that we had seen that names in the Bible are not random, and that they are not without their significance. Names are specific and have a wealth of meaning and purpose. Back then, we saw in some detail that names in the Bible reveal and fulfill the following: identity, nature, character, function, and purpose. Names in the Bible are prophetic. Simply put, names are as the word of God is. They set the course of the life of the one so called to be fulfilled in accordance with the name. That this woman's name is Babylon the Great revealed her identity as a spiritual civilization back of this world, as is written in Revelation 17 verse 18. And the woman that you saw is the great city that has dominion over the kings of the earth. Babylon the Great rules the political structures of all the kingdoms on the earth. A complimentary verse is written to us in 1 John chapter 5 verse 19. We know that we are children of God, and that the whole world lies in the power of the evil one. The Apostle John wrote that the dominance of the evil one includes not only the kings or the presidents or heads of states, if you will, but he rules over everyone who is not born of God. However, the child of God who would not separate himself in heart from this world has unwittingly put himself under the dominion of Satan, the prince of this world. Is being dominated by Satan is regardless of his professing that Jesus is Lord. Furthermore, the woman's compound name, which includes mother of prostitutes and of earth's abominations, as the one behind all spiritual allotry, and the one that incubates and births all the evil deeds of man on the earth. She is astonishingly well decked to facilitate applying a lucrative trade. She has made herself look attractive in order to lure her undiscerning patrons. Her customers are unaware that her house is the way to hell, going down to the chambers of death. Babylon is the subtle, seductive enchantress that deceives the whole world by her witchcraft, as is revealed in the concluding segment of Revelation chapter 18, verse 23. We should carefully note these words describing Satan disguised in this woman: subtle, seductive, enchantress, deceives, witchcraft. The mother of the abominations in the earth offers from her golden goblet, frothing sweet red wine to all in exchange for our souls. She swaps our transient pleasures for our dominion. She trades our favors for our authority in the spiritual, where it matters most. Esau and Samson discovered what they had traded off when it was too late. The mother of prostitutes serves our wine through pleasurable spiritual sexual intercourse. With her, packaged in the natural as the gratification of any one of the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. By enticing the child of God to partake of her delicacies through gratifying his lusts, she gets him to be spiritually one with her. For two, said the Lord, shall become one flesh through sexual intercourse. So we see that when we love our lives in this world, we, the Lamb's wife, in reality, are in a spiritual union with Satan, our prince. With this illumination of being one with the devil, the humble amongst us at the table can understand and agree with the inspired verdict written to us in James chapter 4, verse 4. You adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Simply put, when we love our lives in this world, we are in reality one with God's enemy, and of course, we are his enemy. This unholy spiritual union with Satan was prefigured for us in Israel, as is written in Numbers chapter 25, verses 1 to 3. And Israel abode in Shittim, and the people began to commit whoredom with the daughters of Moab, and they called the people unto the sacrifices of their gods, and the people did eat and bow down to their gods. And Israel joined himself unto Baal-peor, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against Israel. Israel was lured into union with the idol Baal-peor through his sexual intercourse with the idol's proxies, the daughters of Moab. This oneness with the serpent is also foreshadowed for us in Hosea chapter 4, verses 17 and 18. Ephraim has become entwined with idols, leave him alone. While drinking to excess, they prostitute themselves, they're in love with dishonor. Ephraim also joined himself to idols by drunkenness and sexual intercourse. He drank the wine from the golden chalice and laid his head in Babylon's lap. Tragically, likewise, the Lamb's wife joins herself to Satan, the prince of this world, by loving life in this world. Oh, how grievous it must be for the one who loved his bride enough to lay down his life for her, what are in a blissful sexual union with his enemy. The married males with us at the table may agree that this horror of a wife frolicking with an irreconcilable enemy is best imagined than experienced. How torturous is it for the Redeemer to see those he redeemed from the hands of the enemy with his blood live their lives in the wilderness and consequently being afflicted and tormented and oppressed by evil spirits variously and severally. How painful is it for him to watch them being used as toys, mere playthings in the hands of demons. What a tragedy it is that we, who are seated with the Lord in heaven, and who have been empowered with all spiritual authority in the heavenlies, are being dominated and ruled by Satan, the prince of this world. Oh, how tragic. Dear blood-bought saints of God, listen to and hear heaven's plea as is written to you in Revelation chapter 18 verse 4. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, that you may not be partakers of her sins, and that you may not receive of her plagues. The voice from heaven calls us out of Babylon. The voice from heaven is urging us to come out so that we may not be partakers of our sins, and so we may not consequently suffer our impending doom. Simply put, the voice from heaven warns that the saints of God, who will not heed the call of love to come out of Babylon, the call to hate their lives in this world, are in jeopardy of being plagued with her plagues for being one in her. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. How do I come out of my union in her, that I may live in life eternal indeed? Christ, someone at the table. You come out of Babylon, firstly, by thanking God and our Father that your eyes have been opened to see the spiritual reality of your intercourse with her. Secondly, you repent because of the torture and trauma and shame you brought to your bridegroom king by your complicity in her. And as you repent, you neither trust in much speaking nor in your tears of repentance. Your hope and confidence is in the fidelity of your heavenly Father to the covenant of forgiveness drawn in the blood of his only begotten Son. Thirdly, you will have to cut off the shackles with which you bound yourself to this woman. The chain with which you shackled yourself to her can only be broken if, one, you will sever your relationship with family and friends that will keep your heart in her. Two, you will have to abandon your occupation or career or even ministry that keeps you intoxicated by her sweet wine, and that which keeps your head nestling comfortably on her laps. Three, you will have to forfeit your pride of place amongst men, engendered by the value system of Babylon. Our Lord Jesus spoke these words of those things which we place a high premium on in this world in Luke chapter 16 verse 15b. That which is highly esteemed amongst men is abomination in the sight of God. They are an acrid stench in his nostrils. Finally, going forward, you henceforth deny yourself and take up your cross daily and follow the shepherd and bishop of your soul wherever he leads you. Amen.
My soul is thirsty, Lord, to know you as I know. Drink from the river that flows before your throne. Take me deeper, deeper in love with you.
We hope your whole spirit and soul and body have been nourished at the table of the Lord Jesus Christ today. You may send your comment and request for further clarification by WhatsApp to 0817-955-9161, 0817-955-9161, or send an email to thetableofourlord@gmail.com, thetableofourlord@gmail.com. Join our soon-coming bridegroom at his table at the same time next week. The grace of our Lord Jesus is with your spirit. Amen.
Take me deeper, deeper in love with you. Jesus, hold me close in your embrace. I wanna love you more and more. How I long to be dear.